Hey everyone, good morning. Happy November 14th, and welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We're very appreciative that you include us as a part of your day. And Jeff Gargis is, of course, with me, which means that we're gonna have a ball. I can only imagine the shenanigans and the fun that are to be had. So please go fill up your coffee. You are going to need it, and we'll be right back. Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show. We hope you're having an incredible start to your morning, and we are excited to give you a little boost before you head into your workday. Jeff Gargis in the house. Jeffrey Raymond Gargis is with us. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
How are you?
You
awake
there?
I am awake. You know, I was sitting and then I decided I wanted to stand. So now I'm standing and I'm like, yeah. You know.
I'm moving on my feet, which is weird
because this whole time all that moving I was doing, my feet didn't move. They're like firmly planted, and I'm like, that's weird. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
You have a really cool book behind you. I like that.
I do. This Your Dad is a Superhero book is really cool. It's a great read. Oh, you were talking about this one.
Yeah, that one.
Good friend Adam Malcolm wrote that book.
Yes, he did. I bet he wrote 50% of that book since it's co-authored, I'm pretty sure.
Actually, he told me he wrote 88%, but I don't know.
I love Adam. He's a great friend, but he would say he wrote 88% of that book, and I like him for it.
My friends wrote about 88% of that book, and I wrote maybe 12%.
That's not true, friends. If you've not been around when the Teach Better team was writing the Teach Better book that was written by Chad Ostrowski, Tiffany Ott, Jeff Gargis, and myself, full transparency, it was like literally being along for the ride for me. Like I don't know that I contributed. I just did what people told me to do. And Jeff would be like, hey, I need a chapter on this, or hey, I need a story on this. And I'd be like, okay, here it is.
I'm not going to sit here and try and take any credit for that thing.
And then he came back and he's like, look, we have a whole book. We don't have that.
That was a really fun project with Tiffany and I. Kind of were the organizational lead on that.
Yeah,
Shout out to Tiffany Ott, who's an amazing educator. And she and I were like, hey, Chad Ray, write a bunch of smart stuff about this. And you guys were like, here's way more than you asked for. And then we had to like pick through it. It was fun.
But when people say like, oh, how was it writing your first book? I'm like, I don't know. I can only talk about my second book because I don't really know how the first book came together. I just got like bossed around a lot. And then all of a sudden, like I got to pick out a cover. It was really cool.
it's a different process with four people, like obviously different than with two, and then with one and stuff. It's an interesting, I've never done with any less than that. So that's all I know, I guess. So,
yeah. You know, anyway. Josh and I have talked a lot about like creating content and how to, any strategies to write a book or write a...
Josh?
That Josh. Joshua double underscore stamper wrote Aspire to Leave over there. Or Inspire to Lead. I said leave. I don't want you to leave anything.
First person to tweet at me after this episode and hashtag, listen closely, hashtag, I'm sorry, is X at me, like whatever Elon calls it today. Tweet at me. I think he wants you to call him X's. But everyone's going to call them tweets.
So you're saying
that's what they are.
But in the sentence, it would be like, hey, Jeff, can you X me?
I don't know.
No, that sounds like.
Someone do me a favor. Someone reach out to Elon. Ask him, like, say, hey, like, Jeff.
I'm going to Google
it. You can tag
it.
Me so he knows it's serious. Say, hey, Jeff wants to know. Are you tagging him? Anyway, whoever tweets at me or whatever at me first and does a hashtag. Teach better, teachers deserve it, aspire to lead. That's the hashtag. I'm only going to say it that one time. I'll send you a copy of all three books. So if you tweet me, I will DM you and get your address. I'll send you one of all three of those because I have a bunch of them back here, Ray. I should send them out to people.
You should send them out to more than one person.
You know what? We're gonna do the first five people, Ray.
Whoa! How about even more? Five. Let's do it. Just kidding. Yeah.
I want to keep some for myself.
Yeah, I love that.
Are you tweeting Elon Musk right now?
No, I literally Googled. Maybe I'm stupid and this is not an appropriate Google search. What do you call, I guess this isn't, now that I'm reading. What do you call tagging?
That's on not what,
X? What do you call that's tweeting?
That's
on
still
X?
Tag. Yeah. What do you call tweeting on X? Can I show you something?
What is, what are tweets called now on Twitter? They're called X's. You were right.
Are they called X's?
That's what this says. Oh, or it could be called a post.
A post? Come on. That's Facebook or LinkedIn. Can I share something? Like, you know me. I don't fangirl out and stuff, right?
Who did you fangirl out about recently?
This happened the other night. That says Gary Vaynerchuk followed me.
Who followed you?
Gary Vee.
Oh my God, you're so
who I cool. Probably more than anyone should. Anyway, moving on. Elon says that we're gonna call them post.
Okay. So if you post on Twitter.
When it's not Twitter, like the Twitter doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, sorry. Even, if you post on X.
If you post on X, it's called a reel.
No. And
if you tweet on X, it's called a short.
Stop.
And if you do video on X, it's actually called a TikTok. But like if you do it.
We're transitioning to a listener question. Bye. Questions for you because you are listening to Teach Better Today and we could decide the topic, but instead we take it from all of you.
Jeff, we're gonna like flip it because you always throw user questions at me, listener questions without me knowing, and today I'm taking control because I have them up on my other yes.
No, you can't because the person who's running the show is always on this side of the screen.
I know, but currently right now, they're on this side of the screen.
No, I'm sorry.
I've got a monitor. I've got a question queued up.
I'm sorry,
from
Jeff.
A listener.
You are
going to answer it in 30 seconds or less.
I own the company and you cannot ask any listener questions if you're on that side of the screen.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
What, just mess. Is that better? Am I loud now?
Okay. Feel more
can I ask you the question instead?
I don't sound like I have a choice. Why are you asking
you don't.
Me like I have
I'm
a
on
choice.
The right side now. This is weird. I don't like it. Turn it back.
Hi guys. Okay. The show's that's over. Scary. Have a great day.
Right after how we started this, if they're still here, like they deserve everything they're getting right now. All right. Here's a question. This is a good one I thought would be really cool for you because this is it's a grid method related, and they call them gridders, which I thought was fun.
Oh,
I don't know if we call our grid method people gritters, but we need to. So hashtag gritters.
Wait, hold on. Okay, I know this question because we had a person email like three or four grid questions in a row in this listener bank.
And they were all gritters?
All of her questions are like, hey, what do gritters do? And when I read it, I'm like, what does she mean? And then I was like, oh my God, people that use the grid method are gritters.
Apparently they're gritters. All right. Well, it's a decent question. She says, I don't know if it's a he or she. How do gritters handle distribution of worksheets and other supplies? Right now, I am using an old Hallmark card rack and putting their papers in there with appropriate label corresponding to the block on the grid. What do other teachers do? Which I love that, by the way. Like I'm picturing an old card rack, like that's got to totally work. But what else? So like Ray. well, obviously you ran into it in your classroom. So how did you do it? And then how have you seen it? Because obviously you go to a lot of classrooms as well. Like, so when you see the, when you see the other gritters, and when you in fact yourself were a gritter.
I love gritters.
What do you think? What are some other ways? So she's talking about, so for those who don't know for sure, like with the grid method, obviously like kids are moving at their own pace, working through grids, which if you don't know what the grid method is, the easiest way I like to explain it is like grid is the student facing sort of pathway of learning that they're taking, what lessons they go. And they got to, they might need different supplies or worksheets or whatever for each activity they have to do. So you usually have some sort of distribution. We've seen a lot. So
yeah,
Hallmark card rack sounds like a cool one to me, but especially if you could throw in some funny cards.
I want to go over like there's so many ways to distribute content. Mm-hmm. The first piece is like, what do you need to distribute? Because the reality is that most of us who have used like a Google Classroom or some sort of LMS, I like to provide the grid itself and the suggested calendar pacing on that type of platform. And the reason being, because I like when the students always have access to that information, they need it every single day. It's kind of like a universal tool that everyone needs all the time.
It's not going to get lost like a piece of paper might. Is that what right. I mean? Like, yeah.
But I also then give them a physical piece of paper because I do know that students like that physical thing as well. So, but doing it virtually also allowed me to have hyperlinks on my grid. So I, for specifically the grid and the calendar, it was kind of nice to have it in a few spots. That way, depending on how students were engaging with it, it was as easy as possible. Right. I mean, that was good. But as far as organizational tools, I mean, hopefully teachers are using multiple modalities to be able to reach students. I think there's this misconception that when you're working with a self-paced mastery learning system like the grid method, it's all digital. And like, that's not good teaching. Like we need lots of different mediums for our students to learn and be successful. Everything from paper, pencil, to digital, to using manipulatives, collaborative versus individualized things. I mean, all things. So for me, I remember vividly like the first 3 years of using the grid, doing it every way I could think of. I bought colored folders that I would like tape to the cement walls in my classroom
that
would house exit slips and activities I wanted them to grab. Though when she said a Hallmark card box, like, yes, I used, it looks like a mailbox. Like slits, I don't know what that's called. It's like
a mail filing system. Like I think it is like a, yeah.
But I had like two or three of them. So there's like 25 slots and like I had my stuff in there. And the reality is like all of it worked really well because anything that's going to be clearly labeled is a win. Chad is notorious for recommending like a filing cabinet that like students a milk carton. Go in.
Which you can do. Yeah. We used to take a milk carton to like as a way when it wasn't digital, wasn't as, you know, common, but yeah.
I will say I found a happy medium cheating on all of it. So I did like grid is digital. I know I say this, but like, it's the truth. Cause I feel like teachers sometimes get in the grid method. They feel like there's rules. I like to break them.
Super flexible.
So the grid and the calendar, I gave them digitally. I also took the bare bones of what they needed, like notes, like guided notes, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I put that in a packet. So rather than having them constantly grabbing one piece of paper at a time, I gave them specific things in a packet that I knew they needed to have. And so
the packet might have multiple spots on the grid where it says refer to your packet to find 1B or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So it was like 1B notes and maybe they'd like watch a video or read an article and it had guided notes in it to get like the basic information. So that was all together. And that I gave them, it was very consistent. There was a cover page that they wrote their name on. The first page was always the grid. The second page was always the guided calendar. Like it was very routine. But if they had any station work or they needed manipulatives, that was always in a specific spot in my classroom. I use those milk cartons to have, you know, the dice and the balls and whatever they needed to use for that activity. And then I actually kept my exit slips and my quizzes in like the filing system. So the only time you were engaging with that filing system was when essentially it was a formative assessment, and it was something that we were going to conference on. So I would typically have students grab that formative assessment, whether it be an exit slip or a quiz, something quick that they were going to answer. Typically for things like that, I wanted it to be individualized. So they had like a privacy folder they were grabbing as well. They would complete it. And then rather than turning it in, I never really wanted them to turn things in. I wanted them to come up and talk to me. I wanted to have that conversation. So right then and there, we would kind of conference
on that material. From a, like a management standpoint for you in a room where kids are moving at a lot of different places at different times, if you're moving around the room and you see a student or multiple students moving towards that cabinet, you're able to go, okay, I've got a conference coming up. I need to wrap this and or get to that student that really needs me real quick, because I know I got two coming in probably 5-10 minutes when they're done with that assessment. So it almost acts as that too. Okay. Interesting.
I also liked, we did have, especially at the end, I don't know how to refer it, maybe a parking lot, where it wasn't that they were turning in the quiz, but they were signifying that the quiz existed and they were ready for a conference. What I liked about that then is it gave me a little leeway, and I could actually pull students that had completed the same formative assessment and do more small group conferencing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or I could look at, you know, three exit slips that were turned in. Maybe two of them looked great and I really didn't need to talk to them besides cheering them on, and the other one needed a lot of work. Then I could pull those two students that did really well and say, oh my gosh, you're awesome. Blah, 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 blah. See you later. You're amazing. And then the other student comes up and it's like, okay, let's like dive into this because I have so many questions. I'm so excited for you. So depending on what the student issue was, it gave me a lot of flexibility, but the tools that they were grabbing from that Hallmark, you know, card thing or from the mail filing was typically something that we were going to engage with, which
then
if they lost it, it was a bummer, but it wasn't essential for them to necessarily keep on hand. Whereas everything in the packet, it was like really valuable. Like, don't lose this because it's your notes. It's your whatever. So
Okay. Interesting. Well, I hope that helps, listener, whoever that was. We've seen a lot of, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones we've seen, but we've kind of touched on all the different styles. The key is it's got to be easily accessible. Don't have kids tripping all over each other. And I think that nowadays, obviously, if you have a combination of the digital versus not and utilizing when only when they need to get up and move around. But like, because like I'm thinking of her, or I can only keep saying her and his,
I think
Hallmark card rack, like to your point, like a lot of it could be digitized, but when they need that packet or whatever, that's when they go there. Or when they need that assessment, that's when they go there. So
whatever you do, it needs to be organized. And so I can literally envision this Hallmark card rack that this listener question submitted. If it's labeled, it's awesome.
Yes.
If you find that you're having annoyances, like, you know, if you feel like there's paper everywhere, whatever, then let's change the medium on some of these items, but don't get rid of everything. There's so many good things that we should expose students to. So anyway, I love these types of questions. Keep submitting these questions. And keep submitting grid questions, because I feel like I could talk on that forever. Sorry, I rambled.
I love it. When do applications for the grid certification close?
Oh, they're open all month. So if any of you are listening,
the end of this month, okay.
Yeah. So if any of you are listening and you want to get grid certified, you should head over to teachbetter.com/November, literally just the month, and all month long. We have ambassador applications open. We have the grid cohort open. We have lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Bye, guys. Have a good day.
Nice job answering the question, Ray.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Gave me a little feel good. Bye, guys. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.